welcome back to the 1 in 100 podcast. I'm your host, Amir, a.k.a. The Black Podcaster. What's going on, everybody? I appreciate you guys tuning in and checking out the podcast once again. We're back for another week of trending topics, some that might have been trending about a week ago. But if you've been checking out the show and you're subscribed and everything like that, you know, we did a kind of a offbeat show last week where we kind of talked about my ideas for where I would like the Batman 2 to go. So yeah, you know, we did that. And if you missed it, that's because you are not subscribed to the podcast. So you need to hit that subscribe button. All right. We are available where all major podcasts are found on all major platforms. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Podcasts. We're everywhere, man. So make sure you go hit that subscribe button, man. It's not a joke here, man. We want to keep doing this thing. You know what I'm saying? So hit that subscribe button, tune in, don't miss an episode, and we're going to do it just like that, you know? So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully everybody's doing well. I'm doing good. The family's good. This work week has been long already. Even last week was kind of crazy, man. Just working by myself a lot, which is not supposed to be happening as often as it is. But, you know, that's life. You know, you got to make things do what it do. You know, you got to get that paper for your family. So just going to keep on doing that and keep on giving you guys some good entertainment every week. So speaking of entertainment, man, let's get into it, man. Let's get into it. So I mentioned that there was some news from last week that started dropping, and some things kind of built on that. We got some news from Daredevil over there at the MCU. You know, this is something that I'm really looking forward to. I know a lot of people were very excited when this news dropped that Disney Plus was going to be bringing Daredevil back, and it was Born Again. That was the title. And, you know, it's gone through a lot of changes, a lot of different scripts and everything. So they're finally getting it to where they want it to go. So people are really excited. And obviously now we know that the Netflix stuff is canon. So, of course, that's going to mean that, you know, new or old actors are going to be coming back to continue their roles as the characters that they were playing in the previous Netflix series. But before we get to some news about, you know, characters and cast members joining the show. So the update that we got so far is that the season is going to be a little bit shorter than it was. I know. We were not very happy about that, but it was supposed to be 18 episodes. It's looking like it's going to go with the Netflix formula, which is about 13, I believe. I think it was 13 episodes. So that's not bad. That's not bad. Vincent D'Onofrio also kind of, you know, he's kind of like the official spokesperson for this series in a way. But he kind of, you know, talked about it, and he was saying that there are shows that work with a larger amount of episodes, and there are shows that work with a shorter amount of episodes. And he feels like the number that they have come to, with that being around the 13 episodes, actually works very well for this series. So I'm excited to see it. If Vincent D'Onofrio says that, you know, it's a go, then, you know, it's a go. It's a go. So we got some other news. We got some people returning once again. We got more news. Obviously, we talked about the Foggy Nelson and Karen Page, the two actors that play those roles, are coming back. We know the Punisher is supposed to be coming back. John Bernthal is supposed to be showing up as the Punisher. But now we're hearing rumors that the actor named Wilson Bethel, who played Bullseye, he's going to be returning. And apparently it's supposed to be for about 3 episodes or so. So that'll be really cool to see what they do with him. in this new series. Because look, I'm not gonna lie, I'm actually rewatching Daredevil on Disney Plus right now. And it's a phenomenal series, man. I love it, man. I'm on like episode 4 or 5, maybe 4. Kingpin just got done just smashing this dude's head in the door of a car and decapitating him. Like, it's crazy. So I'm like, damn, they really going to do this on Disney Plus. But I'm loving the show, and I love rewatching it. There's also been some rumors and some set photos floating around of a character that kind of looks like White Tiger. Now, the rumors had started back in like 2022, when this was all announced, that Jenna Ortega was going to be playing Ava Ayala. I think that's how you say her, the last name, which is the sister of the original White Tiger, Hector Ayala. So, you know, that was the original rumors, that White Tiger was going to be showing up in this, and it was going to be the younger female White Tiger that we've seen like in the animated series and stuff like that. So, you know, we were kind of excited about that. But when you see these new set photos, and you can look them up, it looks like a man is inside of this suit. And it looks like, you know, just a well put together, like at home, you know, cosplay type of suit, but it is definitely not a female, you know, frame. So it could be that we might be getting Hector Ayala, the original White Tiger, and maybe later on, maybe we could get, you know, Jenna Ortega as the new White Tiger. Who knows? You know, taking up that role for her brother, maybe something happens to him. But right now, those rumors are still surfacing, and we have photos from the set of Daredevil Born Again, where we're seeing somebody in a white uniform. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm still excited for this series, basically because they've might as well just call this Daredevil: The Saga Continues, because they have made it very known and they are bringing back everybody that was dope in the original like three season series of the Netflix stuff. Like, they're bringing all the good people back that made the show so dope. And that's why I'm excited. Like, I feel like it could have gone bad. And I mean, if Kevin Feige basically saw it most of the series and was like, nah, this ain't it, y'all, then, you know, it's time to restart, because the boss says so. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely got to drop a bomb for Kevin Feige for basically coming in and changing everything as far as what's going to be happening in Daredevil Born Again. I like, as long as we're keeping the 12 to 13 episodes Netflix formula, I'm good with it. Like, don't give me that 6-episode short movie or 6-episode movie crap, you know, where it's an hour episode. Like, no, let's break this up. Let's get Appointment TV back for Netflix, and let's get it going, you know, or for Disney Plus, and let's get it going with a brand new series, man. We haven't really had a lot of success with it. It's been mixed reviews all the time. So hopefully this is a win for Disney Plus and Daredevil Born Again, or AKA Daredevil: The Netflix Saga Continues. So moving on, James Gunn, he's been in the news, you know, in the social media news streets lately. First, we'll start off with some of the lighter stuff. Superman Legacy will not be an origin story, which I love, because we've already seen this story told over and over and over again in every brand new Superman story. We've seen it told so many ways, and James Gunn has already said that this Superman is going to be in a world where there's superheroes already existing. So there's no reason to tell the whole story again. I'm pretty sure, even though they're not going to tell the origin story, I'm sure there's going to be some talk about his, you know, Krypton exploding and his parents putting him on a ship and sending him to Earth. Like, I'm sure that's going to be told, but I'm so happy that we're not going to go back and tell that. Like, let's just jump into it and let's get it going. And he also mentioned that the J.J. Abrams and Ta-Nehisi Coates Elseworlds Superman movie is still actually going to happen with the Black Superman, Calvin Ellis, who I think, I'm not really a DC head like that, but I'm pretty sure he was a president and Superman. So apparently that's still going to happen. And I don't know if this is a bad, if that's a bad idea or not right now. Well, maybe I do know. Maybe I do know. It's too much of the double stuff going. Like, we're going to have an Elseworld Batman, DCU Batman. We're going to have a DCU Arkham. I'm sure it is going to be, you know, was it? Wait, I think there was an Arkham already in the Batman. So, I mean, we're going to be doing double up, and now we're going to double up on Superman. Hopefully he doesn't double up on anything else. But to me, I feel like doing another Superman movie and introducing this new Superman is kind of going in reverse, because you're already folding over the DCEU and you're getting rid of all of those characters already, where you're essentially erasing all those characters from our mind. Don't think about those guys. These are all new characters, but then you're going to give us doubles of those characters. You're kind of like, you're taking up too much space. Like, you're jam packing too much in this universe or in this, in DC already now. Like, now we're going to have three Supermans out there eventually and 55 Batmans. Like, come on, like, that, it's too convoluted. So me personally, I would love if they were to maybe not do all these doubles. Well, to me, keep the Robert Pattinson thing with Batman, because I love that series. I told you guys last week, obviously the whole episode last week was about the Robert Pattinson universe and the Matt Reeves universe Batman. So I would really like for them to do milestone stuff. Like, let's get a Static movie, or let's get if you want to tell a Black Superman movie, let's tell something, a deeper Black Superman story with Icon, you know, like, that would be dope. Like, if you're going to spend the money, you might as well do something completely different in a completely different world. Like, I mean, yes, it's a different world, but not Metropolis or whatever. Like, let's get out of there. So, I mean, that's just my opinion on it. You know, you guys can have your opinions on it, but I just feel like it's just too convoluted already to keep going, you know, more Superman, more Batman. Let's do three Wonder Woman movies. Let's do 10 Green Lantern series. Like, come on now, let's get it together. The last bit of news coming from James Gunn, DCU, is we got the casting for Supergirl, man. We got Millie Alok, if you know the name, is probably because you watched Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, and she was the young Targaryen princess who pretty much stole that series. And I cried when she was no longer on the series as, you know, the young princess, because they aged her up. So she was only, you know, I think maybe 3 or 4 episodes was all she really had. And then they got her, you know, she got older. So it was a different actress. And then obviously even that actress, I can't remember her name right now, but she did a fantastic job. After I kind of got over it after the first episode of that actress being in there, I'm like, okay, they literally got the two best actresses to play this character. And this show is amazing. So, but yes, Millie Alok, she's got a new job. She's going to be Supergirl. And apparently this Supergirl is going to be based on the Tom King Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow series, which was like a groundbreaking series that I have never read, because like I've told y'all before, I was never a big Superman, super family type of guy when I started reading comics. So I never really looked at those. And this story actually came out in 2021. So I was deep into comics like I am right now. I could have definitely read this at the time, but you know, I didn't. And but now everybody says how great this is. I mean, I'm reading Strange Adventures right now, and Tom King really is a really good writer. Like when he gets the freedom to do his own thing and not have to follow up behind someone and try and be someone else, like when he's just Tom King and he's doing these you know, limited series, like he's actually kind of a really good writer. So but this story with Millie Alok as Supergirl, it's supposed to kind of take from the Woman of Tomorrow series, or it's going to be called Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. So it's going to be pulling from that. How much of it they're going to pull from that, I don't know. But, you know, let's do it. And then also James Gunn kind of dropped some news recently, you know, kind of just thanking everybody for all the support, because it was about a year ago when him and Peter Safran took over as the DCU executives, you know, like when they took over the whole thing. And he even mentioned that there's at least two more projects that are gearing up to go in the next couple of months. So, you know, he's got incredible scripts coming at him, incredible talent, with all these projects planned and unplanned. So, I will say from what I've heard in these DCU streets is that James Gunn is really putting actors to the test. Like if once he decided on Millie Alok, the word is like she did so many tests with different actors and all the chemistry tests and screen tests and all these things. Like he really puts these actors through the ringer because he has so much riding on him that, you know, he can't miss. He really cannot miss with this. So he's got to come out and drop bombs on these people. You know what I'm saying? Like bombs on them, you know? So I'm really looking forward to seeing what this man does with his new, you know, with the DCU and, you know, with this chapter one, Gods and Monsters. So before we get into reads of the week, because I got, man, I read a whole lot of shit. I don't even remember in half the stories I read, but there is one in particular that I want to talk about when we get into this Reads of the Week segment. Before we get into that, I did want to talk about this. So Deadpool 3, and the synopsis came out for it, and they kept it real simple. It says the irresponsible hero Deadpool will change the history of the MCU with Wolverine. He gonna change the history of the MCU? Is that so? So that's the synopsis. And then an article came out today, actually, or no, yesterday, because today's Wednesday. I'm recording on Wednesday, but happy Friday to you suckers. That this the director of X-Men First Class, Matthew Vaughn. Hold on, let me brighten up my phone a little bit because your boy is getting old somehow. I don't understand how this is happening. He go to the eye doctor. So he said the few snippets that I know about Deadpool versus Wolverine or Wolverine versus Deadpool, I'm sure that argument between Ryan and Hugh is happening as we speak, are unbelievable. That's what he said about the snippets that he's seen. That's going to be the jolt. The Marvel Universe is about to have a jolt. And it's going to bring the body back to life. I think Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are about to save the Marvel Cinematic Universe. God dog, are you serious? He just put a lot. I mean, a lot. I mean, a lot on this movie. Now, so he's basically saying that whatever's going on in this movie is about to change the course of the MCU. Could it restart the MCU? Could it possibly bring people back from the dead in MCU? Who knows? You know, we don't know, but according to him, we all need to have our asses in those seats July 26, 2024. Because he's saying it's going to bring it back to life. It's going to be the jolt that brings the body back to life. And to me, man, I don't even want to say this, but to me, the MCU fell apart and started to die off when Chadwick Boseman passed away. Yep, I said it. Chadwick Boseman passed away and the MCU died or was starting. It's starting to die without him. I feel that the way Black Panther, the first Black Panther movie ended, was the same way that Iron Man ended, with him coming out to the world and telling the world that Wakanda's here and we about to do big things. Just like Tony Stark was like, hey, I'm Iron Man, while he was sitting down eating a cheeseburger. That was a very important moment. And I've had this discussion with friends and everything before, but I'm saying it again on, and I'm pretty sure I've said it on this podcast, but that was the moment that we found out that Chadwick Boseman was going to continue to take the MCU to greatness. And they have not recovered since that moment. And when they decided not to recast T'Challa in the MCU, it really threw everything into whack. Because I've always thought when Chadwick Boseman was alive and he was T'Challa, and then we got Ms. Marvel, and then we started hearing rumors that America Chavez could pop up, and then we were getting rumors that maybe one day we would see Monica Rambeau, and the rumors of Adam Brashear, aka Blue Marvel. You know, all of those people are in the Ultimates. I was thinking in my head that that's where the MCU was going to go. That was going to be the new Avengers. We were going to get the Ultimates, you know, with that team led by T'Challa and Carol Danvers. And unfortunately, with his passing and then COVID happening before his passing, everything just got lost and they were unable to recover. And they've put out mediocre movies ever since. So if this guy is dropping bombs saying that that Deadpool is going to be the one that gives the MCU life, he's going to bring it back to life, you have to bring T'Challa back. That's all I'm saying. And then we can go on to Reads of the Week right now. So y'all sit and think about that. I could be crazy. Who knows? I ain't drinking nothing. I ain't smoking no cigars tonight, even though I have discovered a $3 cigar called Factory Smokes, which is actually very good, by Drew Estate. So if you guys know anybody out there that knows the people from Drew Estates, tell them that your boy, the Black Podcaster, is enjoying this Factory Smokes $3 cigar very much. But I ain't even doing that tonight. I'm just on one. Bring back Black Panther. Bring him back. Don't make him Casper Cole. Make him T'Challa. Bring him back. More after this with Reads of the Week.
It's the 1 in 100 podcast.
You are listening to the 1 in 100 podcast. I'm your host, Amir, a.k.a. The Black Podcaster. We are back in the building. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. So let's get into Reads of the Week, man. I want to start off here. I want to give a big ups to Dr. Evel Ewing. Everybody that's in the comic book space kind of already knows about this news from last week. It's come out that Dr. Evel Ewing's Black Panther run that was heavily promoted, highly anticipated. The first black, or really the second black woman, but the first black woman to write Black Panther, you know, because Roxane Gay did World of Wakanda, but this is the first black woman, first female woman to write on the Black Panther main series. You know, it's been cut short. Or maybe it was never cut short, and I'm going to give into my theory real quick, but it's going to be stopping at issue 10. And they announced this after or before issue 8 came out, and it sucks, man, because I know that there were people that were enjoying what she was doing, and enjoying the world building and things like that. I was not one of them. Unfortunately, I am a big Dr. Evel Ewing supporter. You can go back about 200 episodes and see the reviews that I was doing every month for Ironheart. The story of the Invincible Ironheart, I forget whatever the title of it was, but she was writing that, and that got cut short at issue 12 or 13, and that pissed me the hell off because I was really digging what she was doing there. Then they took her over to Champions, which kind of was weird because basically it was just like, all right, I'm going to write this story with Ironheart over here with Champions as well. But I ain't even follow that story because I was pissed off that they basically took Ironheart away from, you know, the fans. And I know it probably didn't sell like crazy, but who cares? It took away from the solo story to put her in a team book. And I always think that that's a bullshit thing to do. Never do that to me. Never. But, you know, Marvel did it, took her out of there. And then they cut that series short. So she hasn't really had a lot of long stories in the MCU or in Marvel, excuse me. She hasn't had opportunity to really get like deep into a story, which sucks because she's a very good writer. But I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I stopped reading this after issue 3, maybe. Because it was either 3 or 4, and when it was a build up with Deathlok, and I was really hoping that Black Panther and Deathlok were going to be going at it for a while. Deathlok was written by Dwayne McDuffie for a while. Christopher Priest wrote Black Panther for a long time. And I just thought it was super dope that Dr. Evel Ewing was going to be able to write these two characters that have been built up by some legendary black writers. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was going to be really dope. And that fight only lasted about 1.5 panels. And it just didn't. I was pissed off about that. But I was going to, or I still am going to, pick up volume 1 and 2 because I really wanted to read her whole story. But she was just kind of taking a long time to get to the story, building up the world for a few issues, and I'm like, Dr. Evel Ewing, please, can we get to it? You know, can we get to the goodness, you know? But it didn't happen for me. So JT has read everything. I know a couple of my guys over there at the Black Comic Lords, they have been reading the story. OG Rich said the best issue was, I think he said issue 6. So, I mean, I'm still going to get it just because I'm a supporter of Dr. Evel Ewing, and I want to get her that money at least, you know, pre-order those books. Well, pre-order volume 2. I think volume 1's already out. But here's my theory. I know a lot of people don't like John Ridley because of what he did on Black Panther. But that story was also heavily promoted before it came out. And I think it lasted like 15 issues. I dropped off of that too. And then Evel Ewing took over and her story was heavily promoted before it came out. What if these stories are actually supposed to be this short? Because Marvel is trying to find a long-term writer for Black Panther. What if they're giving these writers an opportunity to write 10 to 15 issues without, you know, with very little notes to see where they take the story. They look at the numbers, see how the book is selling, or they just listen to the streets, you know, see what fans are thinking about these stories. And, you know, if they start seeing that, okay, this isn't going the way we want it to go, we're going to try someone new. Maybe they're just trying to find that long-term writer. And I think they should probably try and go after, y'all gonna kill me for this. Y'all gonna kill me for this. I know a lot of people are saying Hickman, right? He would be a great writer for Black Panther. He's already done stuff with Black Panther, but with Fantastic Four and stuff when he was on there. But if they decide to go with a writer from the Caucasus Mountains, I think, God, y'all gonna tear me up for this. I think they should go with someone who has been out of writing for a little while, someone who's hitting the reset button on their career, it seems like, someone who would be very motivated to get his popularity back by writing the shit out of a Black Panther story. And I'm going to say it. Donny Cates. I know y'all think I'm crazy for saying this. I know a lot of you probably don't like Donny Cates, but when I look back at the stories that he wrote of characters that I was never really interested in, he did a phenomenal job on it when he had a chance to write long-term stories. Venom being one of them. He did a fantastic job with Venom all the way up until the last issue, which I think was because he was doing too much at that point. But I think he did a phenomenal job on Venom, even with his quote unquote epic crossovers with the King in Black. I think there was it Carnage Reign? Was that part of his? I know he did something with Carnage, but you know, what if? What if they give good old Donny Cates a chance to kind of resurrect his career? Because right now, I don't know of anything that Donny Cates is doing. And the last two stories that he did was Thor and Hulk. And Hulk, he just left in the middle of the story. And I think the guy that was doing the artwork took over as the writer. So, which was cool for him. He had an opportunity to write a Marvel comic, but I feel like he has some other things going on in his life that may have distracted him from being able to do his best. And right now, Black Panther, since Ta-Nehisi Coates' Galaxy Star Wars slavery Black Panther story that he did, John Ridley losing his hard drive and not remembering what his plan was as far as writing Black Panther, to Evel Ewing, no disrespect, but her slow-paced story. I feel like Donny Cates would be the dude that could come in and give us some balls to the wall. Black Panther, King of Wakanda, you know, ass-kicking, you know, stories. You know what I'm saying? And he could attract some good artists as well. So I know it sounds crazy, but Black Panther right now is at zero for a lot of people. Donny Cates is at zero right now. And the respect he has for Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, who are, you know, they created Black Panther, the respect he has for them as comic book writers, I feel like this would be one of those stories if we could get 20 to 30 issues of Donny Cates on Black Panther. I think he might give us something that is magical, that would put Black Panther back on the on people's top of that people's list as far as dope characters. Because right now he's not in the MCU. Right now he's not in the really existing in the pages the way people want to see him. So that's just a thought. I know I'm on some crazy stuff today, and you know, like I said, I ain't had nothing to drink. I ain't smoking no cigars and nothing like that. But that's just my thought, man. That's just my thought. That's what's been running through my head. And y'all know I like to think out of the box. So let's talk about some of these comic books before we transition on to the last segment of the show, the breakdown. So I read Green Lantern's War Journal. This was really dope. This is an emotional goddamn book, and it really likes to, you know, get them, you know, close to them tears. But John Stewart is just he's an excellent Green Lantern, and Philip Kennedy Johnson is doing a great job. I'm not going to break all these books down because it's a really thick pile. So we got, you know, War Journal. I really enjoyed that. You should definitely go check that out. It's only 5 issues deep, people. I checked out Avengers Twilight. I was going to wait for the trade for this, but my boy Isaac over at Kaboom Comics, go check it out if you're in the South Texas area. He found me the Scotty Young cover, so I read it. I really enjoyed it. I really like old Cap, and I think issue 2 actually came out this week. Probably sold out, but you know, I would like to check that out now. Miles Morales, War Gangs. Like I've been saying, I'm tired of these crossover events. It's killing me right now. It's really feel like it's messing up the flow of the story that Cody Ziegler wants to tell. But Cody Ziegler is such a genius writer. He's still finding a way to tell the story that he wants to tell in this dumbass crossover. So definitely worth picking up. I finally picked up Transformers issue 4. Phenomenal. Very violent. Very deep. Optimus Prime is a deep dude, yo. Really is, this is worth it. Very much worth it. Blade issue 7. Oh yeah, this was the crossover with Hulk. This was cool. I mean, it's setting up some stuff for later on down the road, I think. But Brian Edward Hill is doing a great job. By the way, that's my other writer for Black Panther. If I don't know how long he's supposed to be on Ultimate Black Panther. I don't know how long that's gonna be, but if they just want to hold off on the main universe Black Panther for a while, let him tell this story, and then maybe bring him over to put him on the real Black Panther, that would be dope. New Burn is almost finished. This was really cool. If you're reading New Burn, is Chip Zdarsky, to me, right now at his best, telling this cop story. But this actually is kind of the origin story of how New Burn went from being this I'm a kick everybody's ass for the greater good type of cop to working for the gangs in his city. Ministry of Compliance, issue number 2, John Ridley. Fantastic read. Really enjoying that. I did pick up Killadelphia, issue 33. I love this cover. I have not read this yet. I will be reading this as soon as I get off of this microphone, because that's my boy. And the reason why I didn't read it is because Moon Man, issue 1 by Kid Cudi and Kyle Higgins. And I think inside of here, I'm not going to crack it open because I sealed it shut like an idiot. But I think inside of there it says special thanks to Vita Ayala and David F. Walker. So I would really want to know. I'm going to ask, I'm going to hit David F. Walker up on Instagram because he at least owes me that answer because he stood me up for an interview. So he can at least, you know, help your boy out and kind of give me a little bit of insight on what he did in this book. And if he allows me, I'll talk about it on the show. But this was actually a really cool book. I am a Kid Cudi fan. I have been a Kid Cudi fan since Man on the Moon 2 when that came out. I didn't pick up Man on the Moon, the first one, Volume 1, until after I heard how dope Man on the Moon Volume 2 was. Went back from there, and I have listened to his music all the way up. I think one of my favorite albums of his is the rock album that he did called WZRD. like he was playing a guitar and stuff. He was real. It was like real indie rock stuff, but I really enjoyed it. But this guy, man, I love Kid Cudi. He was the reason why I actually grew an afro in my mid-20s. Like, I'm growing my afro out, man. I'm going to do the little curl top like Kid Cudi. But, yeah, he's a very dope artist. And I did not know he had a love for comic books as a kid, but it makes sense because, you know, he's the Moon Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this book definitely has him in it. The main character's name is Ramon, I believe that's how they're pronouncing it. Or Raymond, but I know Kid Cudi's middle name is like Ramon, so that's really cool. Basically, it seems like this character has received some type of powers because of an incident that occurred on his trip to the moon. Him and a group of astronauts were going to be taking a trip to the moon. They wanted to be the first ones to step on the moon in like 55 years. And it went bad and they lost like 7 hours of time and nobody even knows what happened. They brought him back, ran tests. Everything was good, but he has these abilities. Now, the only thing, he has a younger brother that's really cool. That he comes back home to. His parents are, you know, both deceased. So it's like just a, you know, a brother story right now, and the older brother has these abilities. Now, the only thing I will say that I did not like, which I hope they clean up in the next issue, is something that Kyle Higgins did that I didn't like in Radiant Black. Kid Cudi had in the story, Raymond or Ramon has a moment where something's going wrong with his brother, and then all of a sudden his powers kick in. And now he's flying and he's saving the day. And then he's back home and we don't know. He's like, I didn't do nothing. I didn't fly. I didn't. His brother's like, bro, you did. And now you got to fight for the greater good. I don't like when origin stories are told like that. It kind of just like, okay. Like there's no like, oh, snap. Like, what am I doing? How can I do that? And it's kind of like, there's no setup for it. Like it just happened. And like, and he did that in Radiant Black, and that kind of lost me. But this is Kid Cudi, so it's not going to lose me. I'm going to stick with this. But it seems like at the end of the book, we might possibly get an explanation of how he got the powers, how these powers work, and maybe we get an explanation of why he just kind of zoned out and all of a sudden was flying and saving his brother somewhere across town. So it was a really good story. I like the artwork. It's real trippy, real spacey, just like Kid Cudi. But that part, I just need some explanation on that part of it. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the books that I read. I have a few other books I need to pick up and read, but that was some of the ones that I picked up this week. And I'm actually trying to check. Do I have anything for the breakdown? Man, I think I actually covered the breakdown with my with my Black Panther rant. So yeah, because I'm like, man, we already at the 43 minute mark. So yeah, that'll be it, peoples. You know. Sorry guys, I actually covered the breakdown already. I got so excited, man, because I've really been sitting on that thought for Donnie Cates and everything. But I don't think there's anything else that's been popping on or popping off as far as I know, like Sony and Marvel have kind of going at it with the direction of the next Spider-Man movie. And you know what? Yeah, we'll end the show with this thought. Okay. Sony and Marvel, they've been kind of having a back and forth as far as where they want to take the next Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 4 starring Tom Holland. And Sony, they want to do another multiverse team up, bringing back Toby, bringing back Andrew, and you know, having the crowd go crazy all over again, seeing these three Spider-Men together again. And Marvel, they want to do more of a grounded type of Spider-Man, which is basically how Spider-Man 3 ended. Well, the Tom Holland Spider-Man 3, that's basically how it ended. Like, you know, his identity was back to being a secret again, you know, his friends and everything just kind of rebooted. And now he's this broke college student working, and his suit isn't super high tech and everything like it was before. Basically like the 90s Spider-Man cartoon that we all, you know, grew up loving. And that's the direction that Marvel wants to go. They kind of want to give. And also Tom Holland said that that's kind of what he wants. He wants a grounded Spider-Man story. So if this is going to be his last Spider-Man movie, that's the direction that Marvel would like for Sony to go. But they're kind of bumping heads. I haven't seen any updates on this, whether or not they have fixed that. But that's what's going on right now with the two of them. Now, my opinion on this is I feel like they should keep it grounded. We've had the fun, you know, that pop of seeing Andrew Garfield show up and Tobey Maguire show up and them keeping it a secret for as long as they did. Because people were really diving into clips and trailers and like, yo, there's somebody else in that clip. Like for the pop, the reaction was still good. Like the reaction was still good. And that movie made a lot of money, you know, coming out of the pandemic. But you don't need to go back to that. Well, you don't need to go back to that. I feel like the fans got enough. If anything, I feel like the fans would like for Sony to tell a story with Andrew Garfield and letting us know how he lost control as Spider-Man, you know, an older Spider-Man, because obviously he lost the love of his life. He couldn't save her. We all know his story, but he said in that movie that he lost control. So I feel like we would like to see that story without having all this crossover badness. And hopefully we get rid of the whole, they probably won't, but the whole multiverse thing. Hopefully Deadpool puts it in all that, because he's about to change the MCU. But, you know, hopefully we don't get that whole crossover thing. Hopefully they keep Tom Holland in this grounded Spider-Man story, and maybe we could get Miles Morales live action. What y'all think? I think that'd be really dope. Maybe we can take that grounded story, kill off Tom Holland, let him go do this Fred Astaire movie, bring in Miles Morales and do three movies with him as live action Miles. I say we do that. But what say you, man? Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode of the 1 in 100 podcast. If you did, please hit that subscribe button. All right. It takes nothing for you to do that. And it means everything to me if you hit that subscribe button and you just listen to the podcast, you share it with your friends, you just let everybody know what's going on over here at the 1 in 100 podcast, and just, you know, help us grow over here, man. Like I said, I finally came up with the plan on how to kind of box myself in this garage and make it sound nice, and video will be popping up very soon, maybe the next 3 weeks or so. So we're working on that, or I'm working on that. So yeah, just hit the subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram at the Black Podcaster with a 6, not a B. Tell your friends to tell a friend to tell a friend. And for those that are returning to the podcast, I appreciate you, man. I really appreciate y'all, man. Keep on doing it. Keep on sharing it. And we will see y'all next week. Have a good one. Be blessed and do right for others. All right. Go be nice to somebody. Peace.